Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Paul Douglas, Jordana Green, and DJ producing today. Stephen Belton in the studio, Urban League Twin Cities, pastor and recovering attorney. I love that. Recovering lawyer. Whenever you say that, I still chuckle under my breath. How long were you practicing law?
It took me a long time to practice, so I was...
We're all practicing.
20 years or so, 20 years or more, yeah.
Yeah. So you're here today for many reasons, and thank you for sticking with us, providing perspective on this horrific shooting in Texas, and we'll have more details as they become available. Again, if you're just tuning in to CCO, Uvalde, Texas, about an hour west of San Antonio, an 18-year-old with two weapons went into the Robb Elementary School and shot dead 14 elementary students and one teacher. And again, I guess you'd have to be a robot not to feel a sense of horror when you report on a story like this. I know journalists are supposed to be objective, just the facts, thank you very much, but how can you not feel a sense of revulsion and a sense of rage when these stories, I mean, innocent children, and again, your reaction to what we're seeing in Texas today, Stephen?
Yeah, well, I'm not a journalist, so I get to... display and to feel the full panoply of emotions here, and all of the ones that you mentioned, but also a sense of deja vu, and you know, still feeling raw about the horrific shooting in Buffalo, New York, and then now this, and if there was any way to sort of punctuate, make the point here, it would be by killing innocent children. I mean, my mind is just racing with the horror that scene must have represented. And there are 14 children and one teacher. Were they all in the same classroom? And was it, I mean, we just don't know anything about it. But the mind races with, imaginings, Paul, about how horrific this was. And what could motivate a person to want to do this? I have to think about what sort of pain or disillusionment or anger or just what sort of mental illness possessed the shooter himself. And I know this is not a time ordinarily where we immediately think about or try to humanize the killer, but it's all part of the range of emotions and the emotional reactions that one has in this moment. I think, as a pastor, I've learned, I've heard a number of stories, from people who are dealing with, having with loss, in some cases loss because of violent acts. And I've also talked with people who have committed these violent acts. And they're still human beings who have committed horrendous, awful things. And we will never fully know and understand, because the killer here, Paul, is someone who's dead now. We won't know that. And so that's part of what will the families in particular will wrestle with. There won't, whatever sense of justice comes out of this, they won't have a sense of completion, because they will never fully understand.
And they'll go back and they'll look at his social media posts and say, oh, maybe we should, you know, we should have caught this. And here, you know, he was pretty outspoken about his weapons or whatever. And it's one thing to be talking about weapons. It's another thing. And we don't know this yet. I mean, no evidence has come out yet that he posted anything on social media. We won't dignify the shooter by mentioning his name. 18-year-old who went in, killed 14 beautiful, perfect elementary school students and one teacher. And actually, as a pastor, and I'm sure we have many secular listeners, I'm a Christian, you're a Christian. We are all born with good and evil, right? Mm-hmm. I think some people get an extra serving of good and some people get an extra serving of evil. Based on your experience, evil is real.
It is real, and we're seeing it played out here, and we're seeing it played out in the most precious of lives, those children, but also the most vulnerable of professions. Teachers are not skilled at fending off violent offenders. They may, even if they have had training about active shooters, that's not their core function. This is a vulnerable but highly honorable profession, and my heart just goes out to that teacher, that teacher's family, that entire community, and of course to the parents and the family members of those children who were, you know, who were subjected to this violence. You and I were talking off the air about, you know, how the families and the parents in particular are going to have to go through this whole process of feeling like that they let down their children. They breached their fundamental duty to keep their children safe, and yet there was nothing that they could have done. There really wasn't, short of holding their children out of school. In what days do you do that? If you don't have a crystal ball, how do you know when to do that? And so Right. Do you just decide then that you're not going to send your children to school? You're going to homeschool them? Is that the answer? I don't think it is.
Part of the problem, and you mentioned this, is that we're playing defense, and we need to go on the offensive.
Correct.
And, I mean, I asked you rhetorically, are we going to turn schools into armed fortresses? Are we going to arm our teachers and expect them to be able to take down active shooters? Is this what it's come to?
I think it will be for some school districts. You know, keep in mind that we don't have a universal, there's no national policy on this, so this will be mediated through individual school districts. And I think some school districts across the country, even here in Minnesota, are going to be talking about arming up, putting in gates and, you know, and having armed guards back in the teachers. I think this will catalyze. You remember right after George Floyd was killed, there was a move to get rid of the SROs, the police officers who are in schools. And Minneapolis Public Schools voted to get rid of the Minneapolis Police Department in those schools. St. Paul did the same thing there. I think there will be a move. There will be movement, at least, to reexamine that policy. But I don't think that is the answer. It may be a short-term answer, but ultimately we have to get at the cause of this thing, the cause and the means and the opportunity. And the means are that we have weapons that are available to too many people. And the cause of this is we need to address whatever the through line is, for the, whether it's mental illness, whether it's disgruntlement, we don't really know. And I have not seen much in the way of studies that examined the motives of these mass shooters, particularly the ones who take on schools.
As you were talking, I thought, when I watch my favorite shows on Netflix or Hulu, they always they have a warning on the screen when there's going to be nudity or smoking.
Yep.
I don't necessarily see those warnings when it comes to gun violence. Have we fetishized guns to the point of this society where we worship our weapons more than we worship our children?
I think we do, and I don't think it's intentional, but I think it is an unintentional fact. We don't give those kinds of warnings. We have too many children who are still playing with firearms and, you know, playing cops and robbers. And I know when growing up myself, you know, one of my favorite Christmas gifts was a fake gun that fired off, that, you know, that had you know, fired off little plastic pellets and were shooting at each other. And that's still being replicated in some form or another with video games and with actual toys that children play. Yes, we glamorize the use of violence and particularly gun violence.
So Hollywood is part of the problem, but it's simplistic to say that it's video games, it's Hollywood. The gun lobby, right? A persistent presence and seemingly resistant to any kind of gun reform.
Absolutely. And, Hollywood is, I think, a symptom. The problem aren't necessarily the cause of it. I think that they can be more responsible in their depiction of violence, and I think that they can we can more responsibly frame violence. I don't want to attack art, getting at that, but there's so much gratuitous violence. I mean, let's be honest. Some of the violence that we're seeing now is just for the effect itself. I mean, heads exploding and seeing bullets enter and then leave a body and all of that. All of that is about entertainment. It is not about art, and it has the effect of not only creating a sense of glamour around the act of committing violence, but also it has a way, again, of numbing us to when we actually see it.
Desensitizing us to what's really going on.
Correct.
And again, we have another update coming up from CBS on this tragedy in Texas. What would you, as a pastor, say to the parents of these kids who were murdered today?
Tell them to hold on to the memories that they have, that they need to be kind to each other right now. Remind them that they are loved, that their children are loved, and get them to hold on to hope. And the hope for them, I would think, begins with remembering the beauty of their children, remembering the beauty of the lives that they are, and remembering how kind they were, how hopeful and how curious they were, and getting them to hold on to that for as long as they can.
But the shockwaves from this in that community, and again, over 200 mass shootings since the beginning of the year. The FBI says that mass shootings are up 50% since 2020. It certainly seems to be a trend, and it's alarming. How can you not be alarmed by what we're seeing?
Have to be alarmed, but the best thing, the most important thing that we can say to that community, to those parents right now, is that I'm with you. The ministry of presence, Paul, is the most important thing right now. And what I find in these situations is that the best thing is to just listen and to just be there.
Thank you, Stephen. Here's another update from CBS News on the Texas shooting.
CBS News special report. A mass killing of young children today in Texas. It happened at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, in the southern part of the state. More than a dozen children were killed, along with a teacher. The gunman, an 18-year-old, was also killed. Derek Gonzalez lives in Uvalde.
They said it was they just could hear screaming, and then there was like a silence after that, I guess, where they were all hiding. I guess the teachers were probably telling everybody to get down.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
It's believed that he abandoned his vehicle and entered into the Robb Elementary School in Uvalde with a handgun, and he may have also had a rifle, but that is not yet confirmed according to my most recent report. He shot and killed horrifically, incomprehensibly, 14 students. And killed a teacher.
President Biden, on his way back from his Asian trip, will address the nation in around 2 hours. CBS News Special Report. I'm Steve Futterman.
Paul Douglas in studio with Stephen Belton, Urban League Twin Cities, pastor and former attorney. News today that the White House will announce an executive order tomorrow about policing on the 2-year anniversary of the death of George Floyd. We get more perspective from Stephen Belton when we come back on CCO. Paul Douglas, thank you for joining us on a rough Tuesday. And again, I don't think you have to have kids or grandkids to empathize to sympathize with the parents, the extended family of these 14 precious kids, elementary school kids, who were murdered in cold blood by an 18-year-old with two weapons who walked into Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, about an hour west of San Antonio, Texas. There have been over 200 mass shootings so far this year. The number continues to grow. Tomorrow is the two-year anniversary of the death of George Floyd, and reportedly the White House is going to announce an executive order about policing, focusing on use of force data, possibly a ban on chokeholds, a restriction on no-knock warrants. Stephen Belton, Urban League Twin Cities, will it make a difference?
I think it will. It's a move in the right direction, and I'm hoping that it will also be an encouragement to members of Congress, and particularly in the Senate, to pass the reforms that have been advocated since before George Floyd was killed, but were catalyzed by his murder. And so it's a move in the right direction. It's not enough, and I think the president himself will acknowledge that it's not enough.
We talked a lot about the trauma that young people, between the pandemic and violence and now school shootings, it's just layer after layer of trauma. And I worry about all of us, but I worry about young people growing up today, looking around saying, really, is this what America has devolved into?
And nobody has really a good answer for that, Paul. The fact is that this is far too frequent an occurrence. As you mentioned, this is the 200th shooting this year, school shooting or mass shooting this year.
Yes, mass shooting.
And so it's hard to say that it's not a fact of life. The only question is, when will it happen and where will it happen? And will it happen in my community? So often we are moved more by things that are local or for people who look like us or for communities that resonate with us. But we should all feel outraged by this. And we should all be trying to make sure that this doesn't happen next again to any community and to any child. These were innocent victims, and they are lost now.
So there was accountability at the end of the day for George.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
George Floyd's death.
Yep.
Justice still a long way off. What is it going to take to have equality and justice for all?
So there has been progress since George Floyd's murder. There hasn't been nearly enough, and it's been a matter of fits and starts. But let's acknowledge the fact that Derek Chauvin has been found guilty of murder. Let's acknowledge the fact that the three other officers who participated in that heinous crime have also been held accountable in civil court. I think we have changed the narrative so that the community no longer assumes that police are the police version of events is correct and that police are acting with the proper motives. I think we have changed that narrative for the good, and so that there is a healthy degree of skepticism and questioning, and people want evidence and facts. And let's look at what happened in these convictions and these juries. So we had a jury in Hennepin County that convicted Derek Chauvin for the murder of George Floyd. We had a jury in Hennepin County that convicted Kimberly Potter for the murder of Dante Wright. Thank you. And then the one that was most encouraging to me was the federal jury in St. Paul, which was pulled from across the state of Minnesota. I think there were 8 different counties in the state of Minnesota, from all across Minnesota, who convicted those who found guilty, the three officers there. And so I think we've had some changes there, but there hasn't been nearly enough.
Stephen Belton, Urban League Twin Cities, sure appreciate you coming by the studio today on a rough day. Wish you health, happiness, and prosperity in that order. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Paul Douglas back with you on CCO. Tough day. And again, forgive me. I'm just kind of at a loss for words, more so than usual. You know, little kids going to school, elementary school, going to learn, going to play with their friends. And a creep with 2 guns bursts into the school and shoots and kills 14 kids and 1 teacher who was trying to protect those kids. It's just another dark day, and we're having too many dark days. And I'm conflicted. DJ, I acknowledge Second Amendment rights. You have a right to have a weapon for hunting, for self-defense. Should everybody have a weapon? Should there be basic training? If you have a weapon, you should be trained. Yeah. Should people who are mentally ill have access to weapons? No. I don't think so. I think it is time for common sense gun reform. 80-90% of Americans acknowledge the need for common sense gun reform. Close some of the loopholes. We have to keep guns out of the hands of people who should not have guns. And people will say, well, Paul, who decides whether or not you have a right to a weapon? Should an 18-year-old have a right to an assault rifle? I'm thinking no. I could be convinced otherwise, but how many times are we going to have to do this? 200-plus mass shootings so far this year. And my understanding, this latest tragedy, 15 dead, 14 of them kids, little kids. Biggest tragedy since Sandy Hook, which claimed 26 lives, 20 children dead. And Adam Carter said it very eloquently. If Sandy Hook didn't get things off the dime and didn't get us closer to real gun reform, common sense gun reform that most Americans can agree on, what on earth is going to get us closer? Or is this our future? That every day, every other day, we're going to go on the air, there's going to be another city name, there will be another list of victims, we'll mention the shooter, how tragic, my thoughts and prayers. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. We have to stop being on defense. We have to go on the offense. And I don't know what that's going to take. This is above my pay grade. I don't have the answer key. Collectively, most people, and I think most gun owners, would say, yeah, something should be done. You don't have a right, especially if you're mentally ill. If you've gone on social media and talked about blowing up schools, no, you do not have a right to go purchase a weapon. I'm sorry, you do not. You relinquished your right. We have rights and we have responsibilities. And right now we have a responsibility to keep everybody safe, including elementary school students. What is it going to take? We have lost our minds. One of our texters says, Paul, would Jesus own a gun? I doubt it. Didn't he say, he who lives by the sword dies by the sword? Isn't that from the Gospels, from the New Testament? Another listener, how many mass shooters in the last 20 years were younger than the age of 25 and legally acquired their weapons? It's well known that human brains aren't fully developed until about 25. Just a thought for possible common sense solutions. And I don't know what that age is, and, we don't arm toddlers, right? Because they might hurt themselves and hurt others. Most people would consider that. Most God-fearing people of faith or zero faith would say, yeah, that makes sense. We don't give automatic rifles to toddlers. And I think other people need to be treated like toddlers. If you're mentally ill, I'm sorry. I hope you get the help you need. But no, you should not be able to walk into a Walmart and buy an AR-15. You do not have the freedom to do that. It's bizarre to me because 80-90% of Americans believe in common sense gun reform. We're not coming for your weapons. If you're law-abiding, we're not coming for your weapons. But not everybody should have a gun. DJ, do you disagree with anything I just said? Put me in my place.
No, I don't disagree with that at all. But I do think that it goes deeper than even gun control. I mean, you're citing that as sort of the root.
Is that a Band-Aid?
I struggle to find words and find answers. But we hear people say, that America is the greatest country in the world. And I think that's a fine sentiment to have and to tout. But on days like this, it's hard to believe when, for all the good that happens in this country and all the prosperity we have, we're scared to send our 9 and 10 year olds to school because there's a mass shooting seemingly, a few times a year we have stories like this. We've got a sickness and it runs deep, and it's more than just today and it's more than just gun control. But if we're really the greatest country in the world,
prove it.
We got to figure it out. And it's a lot more than just, people talking about inflation and economics or whatever. Sure, that's part of it, but figure out how to keep our kids safe. If we're really the greatest, we better figure that out and soon.
I'm sick of playing this unholy lotto. What town name? What elementary school? What venue? What city is going to be next on the list? It's just, we have to figure this out. And I know we can figure this out. But when? What is it going to take? How many more tragedies? So, a few final thoughts on a rough day here at CCO when we come back.
Mr. President, there are 14 kids dead in an elementary school in Texas right now. What are we doing? What are we doing? Just days after a shooter walked into a grocery store to gun down African-American patrons, we have another Sandy Hook on our hands. What are we doing? There have been more mass shootings than days in the year. Our kids are living in fear every single time they set foot in a classroom because they think they're going to be next. What are we doing?
What are we doing? That was Senator Chris Murphy in Connecticut, and he represents the district where Sandy Hook Elementary School is. And by the way, Sandy Hook Elementary, where 20 children died and 6 teachers and staff, 10 years ago, December of 2012, Sandy Hook has offered to provide assistance and aid for this Robb Elementary School, the latest tragedy in Texas. In Uvalde, Texas, about an hour west of San Antonio. What are we doing? I'm sure we'll get more politicians sending their thoughts and prayers, which is good for nothing. We need action. We need regular Americans to step up and say, yeah, we value our firearms, but we value the lives of our children more than our guns. That has to happen. Anyway, thanks for hanging in there on a rough day. And by the way, we're giving away a 4-pack of tickets as the Twins take on Kansas City Friday, May 27th. Caller number 3. Twins pregame. They're playing the Tigers. Stick around. That's next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.